Ladies and gentlemen, Zero Boy.
We have Zero Boy here on Open Loops. And you know what? I don't think there's a more perfect guest for this kind of show because, you know, as a lot of my listeners know, I kind of delve into sort of fringe topics. I talk a lot. I've had like psychics on here and, you know, people who have had experienced alien abductions and stuff like that. But I mean, I advertise this show as like it's like a theme park for your ears. And part of Fringe, part of these topics that I love are sideshow, burlesque, old style carnivals and entertainment. And I have to tell you, Zero Boy, I first saw you at the Slipper Room and you were my favorite act. So first of all, I just want to thank you for coming on today.
Thanks. The Slipper Room. Show us your zits. Yeah, the Slipper Room. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The guy came. I always tell this to people. You know, it was a late night show. The guy says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Zero Boy." And this man comes out, shaved head, like silver suit, microphone stand on stage, and you walk up, and from the it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Wow, well, thank you. That's a very nice encomium to make me ponder reality. Ding dong, ding dong. Yes, well, your reality here. Pshow!
Oh my gosh. Am I just gonna entertain myself? Like do I ask you about your life? I mean, I'm very curious. You know, I feel like vocal cartoonist. Are you the first vocal cartoonist, you think?
No. Yes, my friend. Shall we look back in the time history? We go back to the first fire pit. With Grok's new understanding of sound. He would wander around the village, scaring everyone. No, there's been sound effects wizards. There's tons of them around. There's beatboxers. They're the cousins in the box.
Yes.
I'm not really a beatboxer. I don't have the endurance of being a drummer. I was a drummer in high school, and I grew up learning drums. I studied with a drummer by the name of Volo Tunji when I was a little kid. It was a really great experience at the Elmo Lowe School of Fine Arts in Boston. And he kind of gave me my rhythm. So, but I'm not a beatboxer.
Were you an actor? Like, what was your entry into live performance, out of curiosity?
My entry into live performance was as a little kid. I used to play by myself. All the characters, movies I'd seen, you name it, you know, I seem to love war as a theme for noise and energy and expressions. I would play like when I was a young kid, I would watch the TV show Kung Fu and play all the characters and kick and stuff and entertain my babysitter. She would just sit in the doorway going, "Oh, wow, this is..."
Yeah. No, I mean, Zero Boy, I have to tell you, like, I had a friend at school named Harrison, and he was, like, the sound effects kid. I mean, always wanted to be that kid, and I tried for sure, but, like, this kid was, like he figured out how to do Stephen Hawking.
Wow. Right, so, you know, there's beep.
Yes.
Thank you for being so kind to me.
Well, thanks for giving us all the physics mathematics that allow us to have air conditioning. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Stephen J. Hawking, who will be doing a strip routine here at the Sip Room right after Bastard Steve. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So I was a theater artist my whole life. And when I came to New York, I decided I would do like solo performing. There was a place called the Anarchist Switchboard on 9th Street. And I met these folks and started doing plays and producing, acting, directing, and getting involved with ABC No Rio, which was sort of the graduating class of underground poets of the 80s in the Lower East Side. There weren't many open mics happening, and it was only one, Matthew Courtney's Wide Open Cabaret. And that's where I developed my craft. And then over years in anarchist, rainbow gathering, Burning Man slash professional theater, professional variety, vaudeville style, radio, and some TV commercials.
Yeah, like yeah. No, you're definitely out there. I mean, it looks like you've been on NPR. You were on Nickelodeon. I mean, there's definitely use for this talent. I mean, I think honestly, I would see like an hour and a half show of just you doing like this.
Well, pretty soon I'm going to be going back on Facecrack and YouTube with my Zoom content and my backgrounds. I've been doing a lot of work. I did a lot of work during the lockdown, and then worked with the Metropolitan Playhouse, creating a show once a week with them. But before that, it was four times a week when everyone was stuck in the house. And now I'm sort of heading back towards creating little bits. I did this show called The Gangsta Logs with Johnny Z. How you doing? I'm Johnny Z. Johnny Z is the, the guy who'll be calling you up after this podcast to find out about the union negotiation for the fees that he would get at the entertainment local.
So, right.
He died in 1948, killed by his girlfriend, Roxy. Johnny Z was a union official who had been arrested in late 1930s for racketeering, went to prison and was offered an option of joining the army, at which point he became a hero, came back, got his job back in the union. And then there's some sort of claims that he might have been a hitman for Murder Incorporated.
Interesting. Yeah. So yeah.
My show, The Gangster Logs.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I have to ask, I hate the obvious questions, but I feel like I have to ask some of them. So here's one. Real life sound effects, like daily life, moving through life. Do you try to compartmentalize between like the Zero Boy on stage versus like casually doing sound effects in daily conversation now that this is sort of what you do?
You know, it varies. I'm a Bostonian.
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts too, actually.
Oh, you're a Mass old too. All right.
Yeah, I'm from Dover.
Oh, okay. Yeah, wow. Where the hell is Dover? I mean, it's like, that's like, I think of Dover, New Hampshire, Dover, Mass. Wow. Is that like on the shore north of Boston?
It's, do you know where it is? It's like Natick, Newton, Wellesley. Do you know that area?
Oh, you're real close by. I'm in Brookline. I was a Brooklinian.
Awesome.
Yeah, so Dover must be, all right, so it's a little north of, I believe, or a little bit more west and north from me. I have to look on a map. Now I'll have to do that. But yeah, I grew up in Brookline, Massachusetts. I moved to New York. I've lived in Amsterdam for a couple of years. And sometimes when I'm walking around, sometimes, not all the time. It depends on the dosage. It depends on, how life is treating me and if I'm in a more... the reason I brought up the Bostonian thing is because a lot of times people don't know what I do and they just think I'm some sort of serious cat. And I'm the whitest guy in the room or something. And so that
yeah.
Yes.
so it's a little mix. Yeah. I mean, I do kind of wonder about that with, like, I mean, you know, there's always the, and believe me, I do not like, if anything, I want you to ramp it up in this interview, if anything, like, I, like I'm, yeah, like if anything, I'm like, go all the way. Because to me, I mean, I think the thing with Robin Williams is the classic example, right? Of like, where is the line between the performer persona and the real persona and what he thinks I want? Like, do you think, I mean, even going into this interview, like, yeah, you've already done sound effects. You've made me very happy. But we could just keep talking. Like, do you feel like you're beholden to that expectation?
No. I mean, it's, you know, it's, we're.
Yeah.
Not really. You know, it's, if I'm in a pretty good mood, this is fun. I, as I said before, my apologies about the timing, but I figured, hey, you know, I mean, at this point in my age, I don't really, I had a period where I had like 3 weeks of probably about 10 to 15 interviews, radio, television things. Boom, 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 boom. So it taught me a lot about enjoying these kind of things.
Yeah.
Podcast, real TV stuff. And I was looking forward to this. It's always fun to just, it's always fun to just be yourself.
You know, I mean, look, I know this is, yeah, I mean, look, there are two ways this could go. I could very much kind of go deeper, and I am interested in like who you are as a performer, as a person, because I feel like there's a lot. But on the other hand, and this is like, I knew a woman that used to play improvisational piano, and on my birthday, I said to her, can I just name stuff and will you just start playing it? I just wanted that. And that's sort of where I'm at with you a little bit. I'm like,
Oh, yeah. Well, have you, I went in for this thing for NPR and it ended up being like a whole bunch of their radio shows and was called The Next Big Thing. And they had a Stump Zero Boy segment.
Oh.
What happened is that people would write in a scenario. I wouldn't see the scenarios, but the producers would. Then they would choose them. Then they'd say, we're going to call you between 1 and 2 o'clock on Wednesday. He's in the studio. He's never heard it. You're going to say it to him. So they would call up and they'd say, hi, where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. And they'd say, all right, what do you got for Zero Boy? And they'd say, Zero Boy, blah, blah, blah. And he'd give me a up to 20 word scenario and I'd have to make a radio play right there on the spot.
Oh, so you have been put through this kind of rigmarole before.
And my show that I was doing 4 nights a week starting in March during the lockdown and when everyone was stuck in the house, I was doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday on Facebook Live. Give me a 5-word scenario and I'll turn it into a cartoon or whatever on live on my iPad here. And so that's what I did. And it's evolved into a little bit better Zoom setup and computer and et cetera. And it's growing. And that's the next step. So, you know, I mean, if you, as you were asking, in real life, usually what people want to know, because they ask these girlfriends of mine, does he make sex sounds?
That is a good question.
Because that's the sex routine that I have. So it's like, you know, it's, yeah, so it's like.
That's the one I saw. Well, I will always remember the lightsaber. The lightsaber got the huge laugh. Huge. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah, I like working with the lightsaber.
Do you think you could do a whole show of Star Wars? Have you ever like had to do like a Star Wars themed show, an entire show?
No, I have never done a whole one. I've done movies, old movies, doing the sound effects for them, but or the sound and read the lyrics, the words for the text. But Star Wars, people have used that to stump me, like make the sound of, you know, R2-D2.
Yeah.
that kind of stuff is
What are some of your favorite old movies? Like, I got into my whole life, my dad and I used to watch Three Stooges and Marx Brothers growing up. My favorites. Do you like that stuff? Like, yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, I grew up with that. We grew up with all kinds of things. I'm recently getting really into film noirs. 40s and 50s are great. That's a very interesting time period, you know. I could feel the cold breeze on my chin. I knew I had to meet somebody. And they'd better have brought along what I was looking for.
Oh, this is amazing.
So that you made it. Now, have you brought what I requested? I brought it. Put it on the table, please. And do not do anything abruptly, or Elko here might get a little nervous holding the nuclear trigger in his hand. There you go. A little closer, please. Now please step back if you don't mind. Exactly. Finally, it isn't within my. Something like that.
You're kind of like how Looney Tunes depicted those movies.
You know, I love. I have a whole. Meet Wile E. Coyote, inventor, super genius. Beep, beep. £10,000. Beep, beep. Why? Why it looks so... Beep, beep. So that... Those kind of things, yeah.
That was the best. That is an amazing skill to be able to paint the entire cartoon in the heads of the people. I mean, like, are there people doing what you do out there that, like, everybody in the vocal cartoonist industry views as just, like, total hack and just, like, inadequate, like, to even have the name of vocal cartoonist?
No idea. I don't, haven't even thought of that. You know, I haven't seen anybody like that or... No, I mean, they're, you know, everybody's different and you know, there are youngsters, of course, going to be more talented than you because they'll have the beatbox skill and the sound effect skill and they'll be, you know, and they can play violin, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They can't play violin anymore. But, you know, I mean, and I really appreciate that because when they're really talented, it's super unbelievable. But, you know, we all work on the... it's funny because Robin Williams is an interesting character. What an extraordinary talented fellow. But if you know any stand-up comedians who knew him at the time, there's this cloud hanging over him in the industry due to
lifting. He was like creative infringement. Lifting. Yeah, lifting.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, exactly. exactly. He got, you know, my friends told me, I don't know if you ever heard what happened with that.
No, I don't.
I guess this comedy club in California, he came in and they had a trial. They had it that if he came into the room, they'd flash a light a certain way, which told you Robin Williams is here. And all of a sudden the performer would be like, okay, thanks. Like, that's my set, and walk out. Like, they would literally stop their set because they didn't want him stealing their set.
Wow. So
they had a trial with him at it. And he was like, look, I'm really sorry, guys. My friend was there. He said, look, I'm not stealing. What happens is I see your stuff and I'm in the middle of an improv and I just throw it out there. And they're like, you're stealing.
He had like
five or six people that he was paying rent for.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that being said, the guy was unbelievable. He was a huge inspiration as Mork, as kids for me and other kids. I mean, the guy was monstrous. It's just when you hear that stuff on your hero, it's like, ooh, you know,
yes. You know,
Carlos Mencia in terms of like super stealing, but he definitely, you know, he did an album called Life, What a Concept. And it took 20 years before the guy got paid the millions for stealing it. But, you know,
wow. That's interesting. That's very interesting. I didn't realize that, you know, he had a trial. I mean, I had heard that was sort of his excuse, lifting things like that.
It was like a trial at the comedy club. My buddy Kelly told me about it. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, and look, he was great. I also love, in the spirit of like comedians that can't help themselves, I mean, his influence, Jonathan Winters.
Wow. They were friends. I mean, there's a great video of him, Jonathan Winters, and I think it's what's his name? Mr. Nice Guy. Rickles. Don Rickles.
Oh, Don Rickles, yeah.
It's really fantastic. Jonathan Winters, you really see some of the influences he had on they were friends too, I gather, in the old days. Friends. Yeah, so those are my influences, those folks, in a lot of ways, and cartoons and comic books.
Yeah. You know what I just had the thought, I don't think Zero Boy can get canceled.
How so?
Here's what I mean. Like, you know, the big field of what people are talking about these days with comedians, the conversation you hear all the time is about cancel culture. And, you know, I was thinking about Don Rickles. Like, people say Don Rickles couldn't get away with most of the stuff he said now just because of, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld says he's not going to do college campuses. Like, this is the conversation we're happening. But in a way, aren't you sort of like able to evade any of these like kind of extremely politically correct folks by the fact that you're never actually really using words? Like, what is the worst that you could do that could possibly get you on the cutting board of culture?
Well, you know, you can do something that will piss people off. There's no question about it. I had my car routine at the end, driving in the car. Ladies walking the baby in the baby carriage, slaps the baby around a little bit. Car's driving, fires a rocket, blows up the baby. Baby lands on the windshield.
Oh my God.
And then Germany, about 25 years ago, this woman came up and was like, oh, you killed the baby. This is not good. And you know, I mean, I had another time, oh man, that sex routine. It's a sexist rape story. Why is that? Because this is, you get the woman drunk and da 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 da. It's like, no, she comes up and wants a drink. And she's the one who's like, pure, have enough. Oh my God, she's just gobbling this shit up. And second of all, I mean, it was a friend of mine who said this, who then years later saw it and said nothing and actually laughed throughout the whole show. So another time I was doing my show in Austria 2 years ago. And the cutest woman, it was so funny because I got in trouble with some friends on Facecrack because of there was a woman at a college conference, and she was really angry because a guy in the elevator said,
she said, "What floor?" And she said, "Women's lingerie," or something like that.
Right.
And she went to the conference and said, "I felt uncomfortable. All these guys, these men were all together making me feel uncomfortable. Was very misogynistic." And he said, "Wait a minute. I didn't know any of the other guys. They just laughed. I'm sorry, but doesn't your conference have like this plan that you're supposed to do it by writing an email to us?" So long story short, I posted that I thought that was ridiculous and that you better watch out what you say. And a lot of my friends, my girlfriend at the time, got mad at me. "I know, how could you, you know, this guy." So I was okay. And then I had a show a month later after so much firecrackers in the Facebook sphere. In a lingerie, in women's lingerie on the fourth floor.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I did my sex routine there. And at the end of the show, we went up to it was a really posh department store in Austria. And when we were on the roof, this super hot woman was there, and she's a producer or an agent. And I was like, "Oh, who's she?" And finally, one of the other acts, I was like, "Who are you talking over there, man? She's really cute." So she came up to me and said, "Oh, everyone is talking about Zero Boy, but I hated his act. It was sexist."
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah.
So, you can always piss somebody off.
You can. But can you, I mean, look, I imagine if you were doing like, you know, you're not going to have tweets that get you in trouble. Maybe you'll have routines that you did. Like, I imagine, you know, someone could pull up. I'm sure somebody has pulled up stuff that Billy the Mime did, right? And like, you could be like, "Well, that is really racist and offensive and stuff like that." But
you know what? It's interesting in terms of the racist stuff. No, because when I was the only white kid in all black cultural institution in Boston during busing in the 70s.
Wow.
Elmer Lewis School of Fine Arts. It was busing. They were busing the kids, and I was the white kid in the all-black school that my dad used to. My dad was a Jewish, and that had been a Jewish area. And then in the 50s, 60s, it emptied out to black ghetto, and so the school had become the Elmer Lewis School of Fine Arts. I was the only white kid along with my brothers studying there. It was great, and never had any problems with the kids there, and just very eye-opening experience.
Yeah, I would say your stuff is like not, there's no, you know, cultural bent to, I mean, it's like human being sounds and animals and
I have political stuff. It tends to be very radical for some people, not radical enough for others.
What is like the most radical political statement Zero Boy makes? I'm curious.
I don't know. I mean, let's see. I was doing a show on Saturday in Central Park, and, you know, I was talking about, I'm trying to think. I had one show called the Iraq War. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the name of it. And basically it was, "My name is Major Zero." And basically it was sort of a spoof on the Gulf War and 9/11, and took the piss. It was funny because Marine guy comes up after me and he's like, "Listen, man," he was a comedian on the show. He goes, "I like your stuff because I can't tell what side you're on. I know you're a radical, but I can't tell with the way you do it." And I'm like, I'm like, "Great." He goes, "You know, I like the way you know, it's, that makes me feel good. You know, you try to keep people." I did a show called Kung Fu Squatter early 80s here in the East Village, and you know, the cops were watching it, and it was pretty hardcore on them, but they laughed.
So yeah,
it depends, you know, like sometimes if you have to be careful what you're talking about in certain spheres these days, and that's just a sad reality. And you know, I know some great performers who did one thing wrong and took years to get their work back. And they explained that to me, and I understand it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You mentioned, a hot woman. Tell me about that. And in general, sort of like, what is the zero boy like love life? Like, in the sense that, like, do you think women are intrigued by these sound effects?
Are women intrigued by the sound effects? Yes.
In a romantic way.
In a romantic way, sure. I mean, who doesn't like...
Oh my God, there's no way. Are you telling me you do that? Have you ever done that to a stranger that you've met that you've fancied romantically?
Trying to think. I've had people do that to me after performing.
Oh, okay. So now wait a second.
Preparing me for something.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, well, first of all, you obviously, out of curiosity, can you do like a run right now? This is my first, and hopefully, I mean, I think this is a request you can honor. Cartoon male lust. What does that mean to you?
Does cartoon male lust mean to me? Oh, okay. All right, red shirts, Myers. You're going to watch this position here. The village will be protected no matter what. Make sure that everyone is protected and take your position as guard seriously.
Yes, sir.
Remember, anyone comes out there, if they don't have the password, they're probably the enemy out to destroy the poor, innocent people in the village that we are defending.
Yes, sir.
Hours go by. Tick tock, tick tock. The boring hours of guarding the village to save the poor people, those people that will be slaughtered by the evil ones outside who have vowed to destroy them just for being innocent victims. Tick tock, tick tock. 3:30 in the morning. Now, for some reason, a gorgeous looking woman comes out of the bushes.
Oh, hi.
Oh, halt.
Oh, hello.
Oh, a gorgeous looking woman with her, wow, or if you're a gay cat, wow, a gorgeous looking studly little piece of work. Oh my God. Oh gee, why would there be anyone like that in the middle of the woods at 2:30 in the morning when I'm guarding the village against the evil, monstrous enemy that wants to kill everybody? Must be just a coincidence. So I'd best, you know, well shit, I'm horny, man. I mean, yeah, I need some responsibility, but yeah, that's what we're talking about. All right, hold on one second. Yes, can I help you? Do you have the password? The password is, can I suck your cock? For some just reason, I would really like to suck your cock at 2:30 in the morning in the middle of the bushes while you're guarding the village. That sounds reasonable. Male passion, yes. Devil, oh, yes. Oh, please unzip me. Why do you have that knife? Where's the... Take their heads and put them on spikes. There's that guard.
I had to suck his cock for like 2 seconds before you cut his goddamn throat, you asshole.
A tale of lust.
I think that was, I didn't know I was asking for that. I was asking for, well, you know what I, because you know, like there is, I guess I was wondering for like an Aruga kind of thing, like those cartoons, the wolves, like the eyes pop out, the tongue drops, like, which,
oh yeah. Yeah. So you mean like, do, 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 do. I have to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh my gosh. See, now this This is the truth of it. You're like coloring, you're like kind of drawing the in-betweens. Like they show you.
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
Keep talking. Keep drawing a picture for me.
Oh. Wow.
Me the Crisco.
This is by far the dirty, most explicit podcast I've done, but you know what? I mean, I'm very happy with this performance of your Zero Boy. Oh my gosh. What about impressions? I mean, you've done some voices already. Do you have any like trademark impersonations you do or anything like that?
I don't know of any impressions that I do really. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I do voices, but you know, I mean, I don't do impressions, perhaps. Well, let's see. I guess I can do, hello, this is James Mason. And
yes.
No one remembers me, but I've got a rather strange accent. So far, in my character, Emil, hello, all right, small one. What else can I tell you about what I am working on?
Currently, I'm devising an article that can last for 4 hours in an aircraft, at which point the fuse will ignite and blow the aircraft out of the sky, looking like a simple malfunction of the gas tank. Yes.
I love this. Yeah, you're kind of doing like archetypes, classic and cartoon art. I mean, you know, like there's a little bit of Peter Lorre in there. You know,
I'll say Peter Lorre is not an archetype at all. I say it's not going to be anything like that at all around here.
Yeah. You know what? What about sounds? Do you wish that there was an area of like cartoons or the soundscapes that like people would ask you to do that you don't get to do enough?
You know, I just wish I had more work. But yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
The kind of creative thing, as long as my voice is warmed up. You know, so really comes down to the voice being ready to go.
Yeah. What was the Coney Island show you did? Did you do like a vocal tour of like Coney Island?
I had a trip to Coney Island with Uncle Zero Boy. Hey, kid, what? You're sending your my nephew here? Okay. All right, kid, come on. We're going to Coney Island. This is the Coney Island F train, Coney Island F train. Next up, Stillwell Avenue. And then I took him through a little tour of 1940s Coney Island, talked about the history of Coney Island. Did you know? And, you know, get your cotton candy, authentic Coney Island cotton candy made from blue jeans. Get your cotton candy here. You know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So you like go on different rides and stuff? I mean, you must.
Yeah. You know, it's a. Take the audience on a ride through that, or the, you know, shoot the freak, or the Coney Island. Did you know that the first Tommy gun in New York City was used in Coney Island? You know, stuff like that. Little Coney Island at three. Talk about the different parks, when they were made, and how many roller coasters were in Coney Island. Over 60 roller coasters in Coney Island. You know, so. Stuff like that, like a little.
Yeah, bit. That sounds like it would have been a very fun show.
It was a cute little show, and we'll be doing. It's funny because these were plays, solo plays, and now with the Zoom stuff, I'm going to start creating elements of the shows for like video as little movies.
Yeah, no, I definitely encourage people listening, if you want more of this, to definitely check it out, for sure. Do you ever tell people to close their eyes when watching your performances?
No, but I had a blind dude in Germany who loved it.
Okay. That explains that question. I feel like you could take people away in that sort of if they want that experience as well. Though when you perform, it is very visual, I must say.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on so that guy was at a show and he stayed for the there was a question and answer after the show, and he said, I said, oh, how was it for you as a blind guy? And, you know, I asked him straight up and he was like, oh, it was great. And he stuck around for the second show because the sounds really, he loved the sounds. And that was really nice to hear, you know, because I'm not a mimeograph machine of sound. I'm more of a little bit of pantomime, you know, to make the story. And so I can do radio stuff, but it's much more fun with a little bit of movement. You know, I just do a few hand gestures, a little bit of, you know, sound effect, and people get the whole story. You know, they see, oh my God, he was driving a tank with, you know, two cans of beer on the top, and then this dwarf was underneath his leg. A dwarf was under my leg? Okay, sure, yeah. That was cool when you did that thing with the dwarf. I was like, oh, that's what you saw? Awesome.
Yes, you know, I was in an improv class once and some rehearsal or something, and the director was like, just be furniture, be a position, like just take a position, be abstract, and like maybe they won't even use it in the scene, but you might just get laughs anyways because the audience created the reason it was funny.
Yeah.
And I always take that away with, I'm like, that's an interesting idea. Like, do you ever play? I mean, I feel like your sounds are very, like, sometimes I don't know what exact sounds you're doing, but I feel like they're very specific. Do you ever kind of go into like a weird, like, this might sound like something or might not kind of realm? Or are you always, do you know exactly what you're creating a sound for?
Well, it depends, because I've done things where I've auditioned for stuff and they're like, oh no, that doesn't sound anything like with what we want. It sounds like you're going shh all the time. So it depends on what people are listening for, you know. So it's been interesting because I don't even think about it. It's just, oh, okay, here's the sound of a boat. There's a little water going by or something. Or maybe you want a motorboat. You know,
right.
Gotta speed it up. You know, it's like moving the sound through the head versus, you know, and also, and you know, stuff like that. Or there are sounds with the illustration, it works. Without it, it's like, sort of got it.
Yeah. Have you ever had a sound that you're like, this is what this sounds like, and then any people were actually like, nah, you're totally wrong, and you still to this day are like, they got that wrong. I know that this is what this sounds like. Do you have anything?
Never, because I'm not a mimeograph. I'm more of a, you know, how would you say, an impressionist, you know? So you get an impression of what I'm, and then you're, you know, the impressionists don't give you hard borders and hard lines.
Yeah.
You know, so you feel that in yourself. You create the lines, you create the, you know, it's very blurry. Maybe you see the details in your own head. And that's the same thing for me. So hopefully the details fill in with your own imagination. And because it's like a cartoon, a lot of us have grown up with cartoons and comic books. They get it, you know, but it has backfired too. And this is where culture makes a difference. So before I was going off to Austria, I wrote, hey, does everyone know how is all of Europe doing with Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner?
Mm-hmm.
Amsterdam. We love Roadrunner. We know Roadrunner. We love Wile E. Coyote. Germany. We love Roadrunner. We love Wile E. Coyote. Now, I made the simple mistake, which I already should have known better to do, is that Austria and Germany are not the same places.
Right. And,
when I got to Austria, I started asking, how many of you know Roadrunner? And it's one thing if it's one out of every two people. It's another thing when it's one out of every 5 to 10 people.
Oh, man.
Now, mind you, for 5-year-olds, I'm performing for 5 to 7-year-olds in this church. And I go, da, 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 da. And they went apeshit.
Yes, yes.
They knew that was like that. All the little 5-year-olds knew it. It was unbelievable. But, dun, dun, you know, beep, beep,
right.
It's, you know, nope.
I love that this is one of your go-tos. Do you have any other, do you go through like any classic cartoons? Like, do you have a Flintstones bit? Do you have a Jetsons? Like anything specific like that?
No, I'm trying to think. It's really only been the Wile E. Coyote.
Interesting.
I've done King Kong. I mean, I've done King Kong. I've done
I've definitely heard some Hanna-Barbera kind of noises in there. I mean, you know, I think.
Yeah, those are all like the stock sounds that we've heard over our life.
Yeah. Man. I mean, what about like, what's the newest sound you're working on? Like, do you discover new sounds? Like, what is the process of creation like for you?
Well, I usually every Christmas write down the list.
And do Chris you?
Ringle, and, no, I'm just kidding.
I do imagine you have a list of every sound you could do, but I think that'd be impossible.
I don't know if there's any newest sound. I mean, I like talking to birds. You know, they will talk back with you and hang with you and follow you around. When I go hiking, it's really sweet. I don't know. I mean, there's no real, you know, it's, I guess since it evolved out of playing as a kid. So if I wanted to have a bar, I had to have a door. Out comes the keys, you know. You know, it's like it's just the natural progression of something I'm physically doing. And then it's, you know. Hello.
Yeah.
Now you could roll the window down. Or you could lower it down with a. these come from one of my main routines. But, you know, these sounds, it's sort of like a little pantomime with sound. You know, okay, let's take the, let me see. Here, give me that box. Pop the lid. Reach in and grab that bell. Ding, ding, ding. You know what I mean? That's kind of easy. I'm trying to think. But then maybe you want to do it with a soundtrack. So like, give me that box. Off the lid. What's in there? Bell. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Kind of like that. You could do it like that. It all depends. Or you could be done interactive stuff with people, bring them up on the stage. Pilot thermometer, roger. Navigator, hello, target 5 minutes. Look at the guy next to you. They're just like, hey, put your hand on the wheel. Oh, yeah, they put their hand on the wheel.
Yeah,
you got a bandit at 3 o'clock. There's black. And just like, you know, make a little movie. And you, it's funny because the more you try to like make it seamless, people prefer, I think, ultimately the kind of raw stuff. You can do it seamless, but knowing that there's like they're looking in backstage as you're doing it. And then I open this thing and then I open the box. Instead of just like, you know, because if I just go, you're like, what is that? Is that something opening? Is it? Or I open the box. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you know, I just opened a box with that sound.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess I wonder about sort of, you know, I'm curious about like when you may have surprised yourself at sounds that have come out. Like, if that happens often or, you know, something just gets, you're like, well, I don't know where that came from, but that's going to go in the repertoire, those kind of stories. I know I'm
trying to think, like, I think I just have limitations and I've seen the limitations get, worse because of, just breakdown. Like, you know, I used to be able to do rough, 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 rough. And with a little more kick, I can't do it anymore. My voice
what?
Doesn't get.
Wait, what was that? That was the dog?
Yeah.
Wow.
I used to be able to, and something cracked years ago, and so I can't. I had a whole routine with the dog, you know. Fido, woof, 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 woof. Throw the stick, gets the stick. Finally, you know, this. What's that? Oh, nothing. Here's Fido, throw the stick. Woof, 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 woof. What was that? Oh, nothing. Fido? Huh? Where's Fido? Get beamed up to the ship. Get probed. No! No! Yes! Yes! Fido! Oh, look, it's Fido. And then they open my belly, throw Fido inside, sew it back up. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, no, no, no. Undo my belly, sew it back up, and then drop me out of the spaceship. Ah! Oh, what the hell happened to me? Dog hits me on the top of the head. Whoa, Fido. Oh, I can't remember anything. That kind of thing. So you hear the spaceship with a...
Yes, yes, yes. Do you have any, are there lost Zero Boy routines, like things that you did once and you'll never do again?
I improvise so often that there have been things that I have done, and they range from everything. You know, I was the only cyberpunk performer that I knew of before people knew what cyberpunk was.
Oh.
And then by the 90s, they all started talking about being cyberpunks. I'm the cyber poet. I'm the cyber this. And that's why I kind of stepped away from that. But I would do lots of things dealing with computers, video games. People would ask me to do, you know, characters. I would improv with their suggestions for my video character or, you know, yeah, all kinds of like on the spur of the moment.
What's your favorite world to occupy? Like if like the Wild West, outer space, like, do you like that kind of shit? I mean, you've talked about like black and white film noir. Like, do you have any sort of like realms you like to, you know, play in that kind of soundscapey sort of way?
Whoa! Da, 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 da. Oh, get out of our land, white man. Or let's see. Hit the beast. Or cling, da 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 You know, that kind of stuff.
Wait,
I don't know. What,
this is really good. I need to ask you, what does post-pandemic America sound like?
What does post-pandemic America sound like?
Welcome to the Republican suburbs.
Da, 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 911, how can I help you? Yes, there is a Antifa. There's a, he's walking across the street. He's got a black t-shirt. It says Slayer on it. I believe that he means to slay all the white people. Is it a black male? No, he's actually what? Well, actually, it's my son. But he's wearing a Slayer shirt. And I think it's Antifa. And I'm really concerned that they're moving into the suburbs.
Wow. Wow. Or, that is scary. That is scary.
My other one is the World War II.
The French Resistance. If it was done by the modern left.
Hello, Charlie. Hand me the bomb. We are going to blow up the bastard German pigs.
Hello, Francois. Hold on one second. I was very clear. Today I am Charlene, and I really am getting sick and tired of you not appreciating who I am and erasing my identity. Second of all, pigs are beautiful animals. And for you to equate them with the cis heteronormative fascists who are destroying the rights of gay, trans, bi, blah, 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 blah. But the train is coming.
This is very good. I love it. Zero Boy will be appearing at the Down Low Variety Show, which is, it performs at the East River Amphitheater, but you're all over the city. There's one this, whenever anybody's listening to this, I know there's a show the 16th of September, but yep. I'm assuming this is kind of what you're doing now. First of all, zeroboy.com. Check out all your stuff. You've got an Instagram. How else can people follow you best?
You can check me out on YouTube. I'm going to start activating that page a lot more with quick little videos. And then the Down Low is going to be at the 16th at the East River Amphitheater. And then we begin Saturday nights on the 26th, every Saturday on the Central Park West Drive at between 74th and 75th Street. If you're on the street and you don't find us, then your face is in your phone. And you need to look, you will find us. You can't miss us. And we have a show there Saturday nights at 7, starting on the 26th, weather permitting. And they can also just send to Download Variety at Instagram and or zeroboy.com. Send me an email and I'll tell them more about it.
Yeah. You are, look, I have very much enjoyed this interview. I could definitely do like another, a much longer deep dive into all these sound effects. But obviously, leave them wanting more for sure. And you know what? Before we go, though, I do have something that, this is going to be very selfish, but I feel like you're the best person to ask this to.
Okay.
Open Loops. The name of the show, it is a, I describe it as a, it's like a theme park you can listen to. We talk about magic, art, hypnosis, the unexplained, conspiracy theories, the supernatural. It's a theme park for the intellect and the imagination. Having just told you all that, what do you think Open Loops sounds like? What does that theme park sound like?
Here we go.
Open Loops. Open Loops. Open Loops. Open Loops.
Open Loops. You must listen to the Open Loops, a theme park for absurd beliefs and systems of integration between the mind and the creative spirit. Open Loops.
Wow. Wow. That was, I couldn't have asked for anything more. Zero Boy, you are a true talent. I hope to stay I'm in contact with all your stuff. I mean, look, don't disappear. You know,
when send me a link and I'll pass this on my face crack, etc.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You are a great talent. Thank you so much again for coming on the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Again, you are the, like I talk about my birthday, you are the story. There were lots of people stripping and your act is the one I bring up. So really.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember talking to, probably don't remember me talking to you after at all. I'm sure
if I saw you, I might. I'm better with faces than I am with names, so
I know. I was like, Michael Winslow, do you ever perform with him? And you told me you did, which was awesome. Yeah, no man, huge fan. Keep doing what you're doing. I love the sideshow, love burlesque, love these novelty acts. It's a world I want to occupy, and I appreciate for you for coming on and letting me live in it a little more today.
Great, thanks. I look forward to listen to it.
Awesome. Yeah.